unless you're blind and deaf and dumb, you know all about The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, which is being promoted with, dare I say, a frenzy by evangelical Christianity. And I want to say, as we get started here, as I'm going to be looking at this, if you're one who has promoted it, don't feel bad when I'm done with it. Well, I hope you do feel bad in one sense, but I mean, your leaders are failing. The pastors are failing in this matter. I haven't dealt with it yet because I was hoping as more and more came out that there would be a change by some of the leaders and by some of the pastors and some of the pro-family leaders. And there hasn't been a change. It's gotten worse. They're more and more pro this movie. Now, the directors are hardcore Romanists. Can anything good come out of Rome? Of course not. My belief is that The Passion of Christ is nothing less than a giant ecumenical coup by the devil and his handmaiden, the Vatican. Now, you say, is this ecumenical movement an important issue? Perhaps someone listening to this sermon, I doubt if anyone in this room, but someone somewhere might say, as they have to me, is it that important? Even if it is a reality, is it that important? Well, I would ask them, is standing against the lies, the heresies, and the machinations of Rome an important issue? Of course it is. Can there be any cause more important than contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints? Can there be any cause more important than guarding the true church of Jesus Christ from being polluted with both error and with the yeast of ecumenism? The Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, let me repeat it. It seems like some things you need to repeat over and over. It is not a Christian church. And let me also repeat this. You cannot be a Catholic and a Christian. And let me say this. This is a litmus test. If you want to see if someone's caught up in this ecumenical movement from hell or the Vatican, not that they're interchangeable, but close, they're connected. If you want to tell if they're caught up in this, if you want to tell if the devil has blinded them to the danger of Roman Catholicism and this accursed gospel of theirs, then ask them, can a Christian or can a Catholic be saved and be a Catholic? See, they preach an accursed gospel in that church. That makes them accursed. The Bible says that the one who preaches is accursed. Obviously, the gospel would be too, the false gospel, but it says the people themselves are accursed. According to the Catholic Church's gospel, Jesus can't save. They preach another Jesus. You have to understand this. It's another Jesus. It's a different Jesus. Many people think, well, they just have added some things, but they have Christ. No, they do not have Christ. Paul marveled at the Galatians. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Roman Catholic gospel calls for so much more than the blood of Christ to save people. Christ can't save people. He needs the help of the popes. He needs the help of priests. He needs the help of the sacraments. He needs the help of purgatory. He needs indulgences. He needs the favors of a goddess they call the Virgin Mary. That Jesus is not the true Jesus. He's a false Christ. Weren't we warned of false Christ, Antichrist, right from the start? Those who would replace the true Christ in men's minds? Weren't we warned? Why aren't we more careful? The Passion of the Christ is about the perversion of the gospel. It's about ecumenism. It's about bringing separated brethren, as they call us, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. It's about bringing us together with Catholics, a la Vatican II. And the shepherds and the leaders of God's people, many of them, not all of them, thank God, but many of them, the high-profile ones, they're in the thick of this. They are playing willing dupes. They are playing pimps for the Roman whore. It's just that simple. And I will substantiate what I'm saying with facts. Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. Paul says to the Corinthians, a little upset with them, he says, for if he that cometh, this is 11:4, 2 Corinthians, preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Mel Gibson has come preaching another gospel. And the church not only bears with him much of the evangelical Christian church, the Protestant world, but they are promoting him. 2 Corinthians 11:20, a little bit further down, says, "For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." The devil must be laughing. As so many of these Christian leaders are allowing the Roman Catholic Church to devour the understanding, the faith, the discernment of God's people. I wanted to go through some things off some websites. Here's one from a Protestant website, The Passion of the Christ. It says, perhaps the best outreach opportunity in 2,000 years. Boy, they're going to show up Peter and Paul, aren't they? They're going to show up the Waldenses. They're going to show up the preachers of the Reformation. They're going to show them all up. This is it. Grab it. Go with it. The Passion of the Christ. They have all kinds of ideas here how you can take advantage of this. It's just idea number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 through 13. Then we have quotes from Christian leaders. I should say Protestant leaders. Not all Protestants are Christian. I'm not going to read all these quotes, but they have quotes here from people who have seen the movie. Okay, I'm preaching this sermon before it's been premiered, or before it's been shown in the theaters, I should say. And these people have seen the movie. Billy Graham, Chuck Colson, of course, he's the famous impetus behind evangelicals and Catholics together. You have Chuck Moore, the president of Northern Baptist Theological Seminary. You have the executive vice president of Focus on the Family. Of course, James Dobson is big behind this movie. You have the research professor of New Testament, Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Darrell Bach. I'm just skipping through here, a wide range of people. Jack Graham, president, Southern Baptist Convention. Jack Hafer, chancellor of the King's Seminary. James Dobson, Dr. Jerry Falwell, Paul Crouch, Jr., Trinity Broadcasting Network. I wouldn't advise you to watch that network. Rick Warren, of course, Saddleback Church. Dr. Robert Schuller, Ron Sider, the communist Christian. President Evangelicals for Social Action. There is no such thing as a communist Christian. But Tim LaHaye. Then you have the president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, the Vatican, Archbishop John Foley. A bunch of cardinals, a bunch of bishops, all the way down through. Pat Boone, Matt Drudge. We've got everybody here. We got the vice president, chief development officer, the Promise Keepers. You got the president of Azusa Pacific University. What a coincidence. We just got a scathing letter from a professor there. Donald Hodel, president, CEO, Focus on the Family. Paul Cedar, the Mission American Coalition. And Max Lucado. You probably have heard of him. I would advise you not to read his books. So that's the sort of people that are endorsing this movie. And let me make this clear. They have seen it. They have seen it. They have seen it. Now, I want to make something else clear. Am I coming against Mel Gibson, the man? No. I feel nothing but concern for him. We ought to show him some love. I'm not out to ridicule good-hearted Christians in the pew promoting Gibson's movie. Perhaps I should have preached on this sooner. It's the leaders, the pastors, and they've seen it. The Passion of Christ is a $25 million movie. It's being praised by Christian leaders and Protestant leaders across the width and breadth of America. It's being praised and promoted by Christian radio talk show hosts, by pro-family leaders, Protestant pro-family leaders. Thousands are totally without excuse. They've seen the movie at special showings. They've seen the movie. Keep that in mind as we talk about this movie. And in the coming days, even if they begin to backpedal a few of them, if they come under some fire, which I hope they do, they've seen the movie. And understand that many of God's people are increasingly becoming sheep without shepherds. Or if they have shepherds, of course, they might as well not have shepherds. They'd be better off without some of these guys that mislead them. The Washington Times, January 22, 2004. Evangelical and Catholic leaders ranging from the National Association of Evangelicals President Ted Haggard, I'm not surprised, to Denver Archbishop Charles Chaput have seen and praised this cinematic endeavor. Now, many thousands of leaders, as we speak, have seen the movie. And then they praised it. The ones that haven't seen it are also without excuse, because they've endorsed it, and they're out without excuse because they have access to the truth on this movie. And they should have proved it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Goes on to say, of course, abstain from all appearance of evil. We're supposed to search the scripture to see if it's so when we hear about something like this. So they're without excuse. Right from the get-go. They're without excuse because the movie deals with Christ and the gospel. So you need to be very circumspect and careful. You need to prove it. You need to search the scriptures. You need to listen to what the actors are saying and how the movie's being described. Second, the director, the producer, and many of the cast are Roman Catholic. And third, the Vatican has endorsed the movie. Isn't that enough to make you say, let's step back a minute, get out our Bibles, and start investigating before we promote this? And then, of course, you have all the comments that Mel Gibson and others have made about the movie publicly. What is wrong with Mel Gibson's movie, you ask? Well, I'm just going to share some things that are well documented. I haven't seen the movie. I'm sure as the discerning Christian views this movie, which I won't do because I'm not going to give my money to it, I'm sure he'll see much, much, much more. But let me go through some things that are wrong with this movie that excludes it from being something we should promote. Least of all, the way people are promoting. I mean, it's not, they're not just saying, oh, I think it'd be all right. I mean, they're promoting it. Thousands of dollars, rave reviews, go see it, go see it, go see it. Turn on Christian radio, you hear it from everyone. The first reason we shouldn't go see it, you may not agree with me, but I guess that's life. The actor pretends to be God. I have a problem with actors or anyone pretending to be God. I think it's idolatry. Second commandment is we're not to make a graven image or any likeness of God. Or of anything in the heaven above, anything. That includes God. I think it's blasphemous. I think it's idolatry for an actor to pretend to be God. Jesus Christ is God. The second reason that we should be speaking against the movie, if anything, not for it, the director and the producer and the man who played the part of Jesus are both Roman Catholic, hardcore Romanists. Mel Gibson reveres, almost worships the Mass. Well, he does worship the Mass. Catholics worship the Mass because they believe Jesus is literally present in the bread and the blood. And so the Eucharist, which is a part of the Mass, there's worship of a portion of that ritual and the elements used. He had the Mass every day on the set, and his leading actor, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce his name, I don't watch TV or listen to the radio much, but I do read. So sometimes I end up with the wrong pronunciation of a name. Jim Cavazel. He's the one that plays Jesus. He prays the rosary constantly on the set. He studied Medjugorje. His inspiration came from the apparitions at Medjugorje. He carried supposedly a fragment of the true cross with him during the movie. He had a little special pocket made so he could worship that. Of course, it wasn't the true cross. He had relics of dead saints with him on the set. That means pieces of bone and things like this. Maybe some hair, bone, or a tooth, so they could worship that. He had those with him during the filming of The Passion. He said, this film is something that I believe was made by Mary for her son. You want to promote this movie? I don't. His face was made up. You know the way they made his face up to look? It was based on the Shroud of Turin, which is nothing but a demonic, false deception that leads people astray. You know, the Shroud of Turin supposedly has they say it's the picture of Jesus imprinted on it. Well, it's a demonic thing. Okay, what's wrong with the Shroud of Turin? It's a big, long sheet, and here's the image of Jesus, supposedly. Read the Bible. Jesus was wrapped up in grave clothes, and there was a separate napkin wound around his face. It was not a full, single sheet. Read the Bible. That's where our safety is. Now, Gibson, in the Zenit News Service, which is a Vatican news service essentially, said our work was accompanied by many signs that confirm it. What's he talking about, this movie? many signs. Well, Zenit News, February 18, 2004, said there were apparitions of mysterious personages on the set. Apparitions were appearing. It said extraordinary explosions of energy took place. Enigmatic figures who knelt down as the extraordinary Jesus passed by. So people came out of nowhere. They just saw people. They just saw apparitions. There were two flashes of lightning. And they say also Mary, her name, real name is German, the one who played Mary, Morgenstern. In German it says it means the morning star. More blasphemy. Who's the morning star? Jesus. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. They call Mary the morning star. They apply to Mary every title of Jesus. They ascribe to her every act that Jesus did, one way or another. They are replacing Jesus with Mary. Could God be for this movie? Is the Lord hard up for converts? Is God standing on the corner by the movie theater with a tin cup in his hand, begging for souls? Is he so desperate to get the gospel out that he blessed this movie? The Passion is a massive worldwide Bible study. Would you attend a Bible study led by Romanist Mel Gibson? And no, he's not saved. Don't say he's saved. Christians are saying, well, I think he might be saved. He's not saved. He worships the Mass. He's not saved. He's a Roman Catholic. Don't do despite to the redeeming power of Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the Holy Ghost by saying a man that will go to the Mass and worship Mary and say the rosary is saved. He is not. Judge righteous judgment. Yes, you can judge this. You can judge this. Mel Gibson had the Mass every day during the movie in order to be squeaky clean. The Bible tells us that if we do sin, and if we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ, we confess our sins and call upon the name of the Lord for forgiveness. It's His blood, not the Mass, not the priests. And you have to understand this Mass is a demonic thing. It's a table of devils. And the Bible says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The Bible says you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the tables of devils. You can't. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can't and still be a true follower of Jesus. And then 22 it says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Good question. You would think a lot of Christians think they're stronger than the Word of God, stronger than the Bible. They're going to decide that certain people are Christians because they decided rather than based on the Word of God. On ABC Primetime with Diane Sawyer, of course, I didn't watch it, but I've read excerpts from it. Gibson followed the Pope and the Catholic Catechism in saying that Jews and Muslims could go to heaven. You know, those children of Abraham, nothing about getting saved, of course, by the blood of Christ and faith. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. At the same time, he's been saying there's no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. Does that confuse you? Well, it should not. He's talking about you. The Muslims, the Jews, the whole approach of the Roman Catholic Church is that people are saved by what knowledge they have. If they don't know any better, if they're Muslims or Jews, fine, they're children of Abraham. They're saved anyway. Now, you know better. You know, you're claiming to be Christian, so you're not saved. You're separated brethren. You have a certain knowledge of Christ, but you don't have the full knowledge. You have to get into the church, the one true church in Rome, they say, to be saved. So all this is going on. I've just scratched the surface, and I'm not done yet. But many Christians don't seem to care. They don't care. They're frantically laboring in a frenzy with Gibson et al. To make the Passion a success. And you point these things out and people don't care. It's one thing if they haven't heard it. And again, the Christian sitting in the pew, I understand. God bless those that have a heart for God and thought, here's an opportunity. You know, they still need to look at this and understand and change. But their leaders have led them astray. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Mel Gibson is an unbeliever. The person playing Jesus is an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Revelation 18:4. There's a warning. Come out of her, my people, talking about that whore. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. The scriptures are clear, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, Ephesians 5:11. So what we have here is a massive amount of evangelical Christians, led by their leaders and pastors, joining with Roman Catholics in an evangelistic outreach. Come on now, let's get back to square one. Let's think about this. Let's get away from the passion, so to speak, and the hype, and the PR, and the vain hopes, and think about this. Of course, this way has all been paved by joint ministry with Catholics and pro-life work and things like this, where this way has been paved. This stage has been prepared. Now, let me tell you some more reasons why we should have nothing to do with the Passion of the Christ movie by Mel Gibson. Here's a reason for you. It is for me. The Pope, his cardinals, the Vatican Secretary of State, the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, it passes their standards, all give the Passion their approval and their support. All of them. Now, we're dealing with the Bible here. That's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with whether or not the sun actually goes around the moon, earth, or the earth around the sun. Oops. I guess they were wrong on that too, weren't they? But we're dealing with the Bible. The Bible, the gospel. The Antichrist, the Pope, said this about the movie. It is as it was. That's not true. Why is Rome so enthusiastic for the Passion? Shouldn't this alone be a red flag? Well, let me tell you some of the reasons Rome is so enthusiastic for the Passion. First of all, the film's not accurate according to the Bible, and oh, do they love that. The Catholic Church must tear down the Bible. They must shake the confidence Christians have, and unbelievers as well, in the Bible. They have to tear it down. They have to say, it's not accurate. You can't trust it. It's the Word of God. But you've got to listen to us, the teaching magisterium. They say that they give equal weight to the Bible and the teaching magisterium, which is essentially the Pope and his bishops, but it's the Pope. They do not do that. That would be wrong, but they do not do that. Because every time the two clash, it's always the magisterium that wins out. Now listen, Proverbs 13:13 says what? Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Is this a serious issue or not? If this movie is highly inaccurate according to the Bible, but it is accurate according to Roman Catholic heresy and error, then this is a serious issue, isn't it? Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is the respect we're to have for the word of God. Tremble before it. Not just say, oh, it's a great movie. I love that movie. It made me feel really emotional about what Jesus did. Now, I want to reiterate the things that I'm sharing, and I'm going to share some more, are from very accurate sources, people who saw the movie. And also other people making it that made public statements. Who knows what else is in there? I've read some things. I'm not positive I can trust the source, so I won't share them. It's probably true, but I won't share it. I'm just going to share some things. Did you notice when they're releasing it? Ash Wednesday. What's Ash Wednesday? Go look at a Roman Catholic calendar. It's a Roman Catholic holy day. What excuse is there for these Christian leaders who have seen this movie and have nothing but praise for it? What excuse? No excuse. Now, I want to quote from you, or to you, from an article called The Passion of Violence and Love by Vittorio. Pretty good. This is Italian. I don't do Italian or French. Missorii, Zenit News Service. Again, the Vatican's news source. He says, I'm just going to quote some excerpts from his article. He says it was no accident that it was pleasing to the Pope and to so many cardinals, not excluding Ratzinger, this is their legal guy, sort of, for whom the Passion is a manifesto that abounds in symbols that only a competent eye can fully discern. There's many, many things in there that unless you're competent, either you're a Roman Catholic and you're competent that way, or you're a Bible-believing Christian and you're competent in the Word of God, you'll miss some of it. But there's a lot of things that you don't have to be even halfway discerning about. But these people missed it. Or they're covering it up. Now here I want to give an example, typical of far too many high-profile Christian leaders with great influence. I'm going to name a name. I've already named a bunch of names. You know why I'm naming names? Because these are Christian leaders and pastors who have months and months and months and months to examine this, to apply the Word of God. And they've seen the movie. Let me stress that. And I'm going to tell you some more things that are in that movie. Well, VCY America, it's a big network in our, out of our state, and it's nationwide, has been promoting and defending this movie. Ingrid Schleeder's a host that's been defending it. And Vic Eliason is a VCY America Cross Talk host, well, Ingrid hosts as well, but he is the, what can I call him? I don't know what is, he's the head guy. He viewed The Passion in its entirety last week, just last week. Let me read you some excerpts from a recent Crosstalk show when a caller called in. Vic says, I saw the film. He testifies, I saw the film. Everything that I saw, I've read in the gospel. Now you keep that in mind. Keep that statement in mind. It's typical of what the others are saying, leaders and pastors who have seen it. When I go through this in a minute, you keep that in mind. Everything I've read, everything I saw, I've read in the gospel. All of it's there with no imagery, no crucifixes, no halos. No imagery? You don't call Veronica appearing in the movie an image, imagery? I'll share on that in a minute. No crucifixes. Well, they had a living crucifix. No halos. Well, there you go. I guess it's safe. Nobody had a halo over their head. Nothing when I saw the film. He goes on in this, I won't quote all of it, but it's like, I was sensitive. These guys cover themselves up. They say, it's a Catholic film, and basically I'm a Protestant, so I'm sensitive when I go in. I've got to be careful. They never say the Roman Catholic Church is an antichrist church and a false church. They never say a Catholic cannot be a Christian. They always just say, I was careful, I was sensitive, I don't agree with everything. I was sensitive as I went in to see the film. I wondered if it was being used or would be used as a vehicle from a particular religious body. I did not see that. Keep that in mind. There are aspects, talking about Mel Gibson, he says. First he says, he was troubled about when he talked about a Muslim can be a Christian. They're always troubled when you talk about Muslims being Christians. That's popular to be troubled about that. When you talk about the possibility of Catholics being Christian, then they get upset. Of course they can be Christians. So he says there are aspects of what he has said which he may be spiritually illiterate. Because the issue is he a Christian or not? Well, he might just be spiritually illiterate. Then he says, I don't know that he is born again. So he leaves the listeners thinking, well, he might not be. He might not be. Now you remember these comments, and you remember this leader, and you remember the others as we look further into this movie, and you ask yourself, what manner of men are these? Are these spiritual men discerning the things of the Spirit of God? Do they have the mind of Christ? What is the problem? These men have seen the movie. They've heard all the quotes and the things I'm going to share. So many Christians are so reckless about the Word of God today. You see all these Bible perversions floating around. Well, this Passion of Christ is simply, that paved the way as well. It's simply a living Bible version, I guess, and a Catholic one at that. But let me just give you a few scripture verses that should really strike fear into your heart when it comes to dealing with the Word of God. You should tremble before it. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. If you begin to take away or add from the Word of God, you're going to end up not obeying God. You won't keep His commandments. Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Someone says, it's just for Revelation. Well, I think whatever applied to Revelation would apply to the rest of the book as well, even if that would be the case. Proverbs 30:6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Did the Passion add unto God's word? Let me tell you, it did more than that. It wages war on the Holy Scriptures. For instance, It promotes the Catholic Virgin Mary and the Mass. Zenit News Service, I think it was February 18th or 19th, by a writer who saw the movie. He says the radical Catholicity is also in, talking about the movie, is also in the Eucharist aspect of the movie, reaffirmed in its materiality. The blood of the Passion is continuously intermingled with the wine of the Mass, the tortured flesh of the Corpus Christi with the consecrated bread. It is also in the strongly Marian tone. He's talking about the movie. Now, I've heard that it goes back and forth from Christ to somehow symbols of the Mass. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've heard that in several different places. It appears that's what he's talking about here. But this I do know, for sure. He says it is also in the strongly Marian tone. The mother and the devil, who is feminine or perhaps androgynous, are omnipresent. The Virgin Mary is omnipresent in the movie. Well, why wouldn't they do that? They think she's a goddess. This film, for its author, is a mass. He goes on, I'm reading excerpts. I believe that the theological importance attributed to the Madonna, as well as to the Eucharist, this is in the mass, in the movie, an importance not spiritualized, not reduced to a, quote, memorial, mocking the Protestant world there, but seen in the most material and therefore Catholic way, the transubstantiation will create some uneasiness in the American Protestant churches. I guess that worry was pretty much baseless, wasn't it? I mean, all the Protestant churches, most of them, not all of them, and the big-time leaders, high-profile leaders, they've seen it. All the things he just said, they don't seem fazed by it. Thousands of pastors and Protestant leaders have seen the film, and they're raving over it and promoting it to God's people. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. This is a device. I'm trusting on the living one who gave himself for me, gave his life for me. Not much trust in Christ here when you promote this movie. Trust in gimmicks and craftiness and in the Catholic Church to give you a good gospel movie. Here's some more lies that are in the movie out of this article. The desperate Peter, after the denial, this is in the movie, falls at the feet of the Blessed Virgin to obtain pardon. Well, isn't that handy? I thought Peter asked Christ for forgiveness. Oh, well, aren't they pretty much interchangeable? The Catholic Church would like you to think so, and they're using this movie to promote the Catholic Mary. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's what that is doing. It features Veronica wiping the face of Jesus. Now, Veronica, the Catholic Church made up. They say, at the sixth station of the cross and all these different Good Friday things they do, and also as they map Jesus' progress to Calvary, they say they have these different stations. And that's the sixth station. Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. There is no Veronica. It didn't happen. It's not in the Bible, but it works for Rome. Can I read to you a little bit about Veronica as long as we're at? This is off the Vatican's website. Between Veronica and Jesus, as between us and the crucified, there is a veil for drying the tormented face of her spouse to give back its proper shape and beauty. The Veronica represents and describes the female and spouse-like destiny of all humanity, the intimate nature of the Church born out of the side of Christ and irrevocably united to Him, the vocation, the mission for which every Christian soul in this world is chosen. Veronica is the woman in the Song of Songs whose passion of love has become compassion, a true suffering beside the Beloved. Veronica is the one who cherishes within her the image of the Beloved so that she always knows where to find it. Veronica represents our Christian communities where they search for the face of the Beloved among the crowd, discovering it in the most humiliated faces and pausing to clean them with infinite gentleness. Your holy priests are also like Veronica. Every time they are moved by meeting your disfigured face and honor it with an inexhaustible charity and with genial diligence. You know, someone just sat down and wrote that, you know, and a whole bunch of people believe it. They just sat down and wrote that. Veronica is. So that's in the movie. Add thou not unto his words. You know, also in the movie, after Jesus is scourged, And by the way, with the Veronica thing, in the movie she takes away the cloth and Jesus' image is imprinted in it perfectly. It's not in the Bible. In the movie, Mary wipes up the blood of Jesus after he's scourged. You see, Mary is every step of the way. Well, of course, that's Catholic theology. She's the co-redemptrix, isn't she? Co-sufferer. She wipes up the blood after he's scourged. That's not in the Bible. And Mary assists Jesus on the way to the crucifixion, all the way in the movie. That's not in the Bible, but it works for Rome. You see, Mary, they're playing mind games. They're indoctrinating people into Roman theology, Roman Catholic theology. She is to the Roman Church, and they've said it. They're going to make it official dogma soon. The co-redemptrix. So to be the co-redemptrix, she has to be the co-sufferer. If you read Roman Catholic documents and papal encyclicals and statements by the bishops, you see that Mary is the co-sufferer in their mind. They say that her Immaculate Heart suffered so grievously when he was on the cross, it was a physical suffering, not just mental, that she was suffering right along with him, just like him. And so she was redeeming us as well. And so this fits into Roman Catholic theology. Thank you so much, pastors and talk show hosts, for being shills for this Roman whore and ravaging the sheep like this and attacking the gospel. And of course you have Mary cherishing the blood of Jesus as no one else would have at the time. Because why? She has special insight. Because she's godlike. In the Zenith News Service report, it says theologians will also note here Mary's appreciation for Jesus' precious blood. This is about discipleship. This is about deception. This movie adds and distorts much. For instance, Jesus tells Mary on the way to the cross, "Behold, I make all things new." Jesus did not say that on the way to the cross. Jesus said that, if you look in Revelation 21, verse 5, it's in this book of the Revelation, and it's the risen, it's the reigning, it's the glorified Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father who says that. Also in the movie, I understand an earthquake destroys the temple at Christ's death. It did not. The veil was rent. The temple was not destroyed. They took out, Mel Gibson got nervous and took out, when the Jews say, "His blood be on us and on our children." I understand he took out the bylaw or byline. This is all with bylines. Big on Latin, this movie. Wonder why. Mel Gibson is into the Latin Mass. He's a traditionalist. He rejects much of Vatican II. So those are some of the things that have been taken out. And those are some of the things that have been added. No one has the right to take literary license with the Word of God. And it is a grievous sin to do so. In this arrogant age, I suppose people don't even think about it. They put up billboards and they sign it with God's name. They send out memos from God. They put words in God's mouth. They wouldn't dare put words in other people's mouths or they get sued, but they put words in God's mouth, even though he says, "Add thou not unto my word, lest I reprove thee and thou be found a liar." Mel Gibson said on primetime television, that show, "This is my version of what happened." You think a few people should have got a little concerned there. His version is the Roman Catholic version. Those who promote the Passion of Christ promote the savaging of God's Word. It's that serious. The movie, and this has come out in the newspaper now, but we had this for quite a while, this part of this movie, this aspect. It's based on, in part, the writings detailing the demonic visions of a German nun named Anne Catherine Emmerich, 1774 to 1824, and a French nun, Mary of Agreda, 1602 to 1665. Now, this has been pretty common knowledge, and now it's even in the USA Today newspaper. It's been other newspapers, I think the Washington Times or Post, one of them. It's been all over for a number of weeks, and yet these leaders continue to promote this movie. Gibson actually shared this fact with clergy a number of times after previewing it to them. And I'm talking about Protestant clergy and test audience. And, of course, it's in print. Now, this Emmerich, this German nun, she was supposedly afflicted by the stigmatas of Christ. Stigmata means a wound. There is, in the Catholic world, you won't hear much about this, but I have a number of Catholic books and documents on this, where, and this has imprimatur of the church, where certain people get the wounds of Christ on them, their hands, their feet, their side, and then they suffer. And they're suffering and they're dedicating their suffering to Christ and to redeem souls and to make, what do they call it? I'll say recompense. I can't think of the word. Through these stigmatas and the suffering. She had those, she said, they say. She had these demonic visions she had published. They're still in print. They were consulted by Gibson. This Mary of Akrita, she was into all sorts of visions and trances. She could leave her body, she said, and travel to other lands. She's the author of The Mystical City of God. Gibson also based the movie, parts of the movie, on her visions. And so he based it on Roman Catholic theology or doctrine, I should say, dogma. He based it on a little bit of the Bible, of course. He based it on the visions of these nuns, the demonic visions of these nuns. And still, the movie is lauded by Christians, Christian leaders. Listen, there needs to be a coming clean here. These guys, you know, well, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Pat Robertson, D. James Kennedy. I don't care who it is. They need to say, I was wrong. I repent, brothers and sisters. They need to make this right. Not just slink away from it. Oops. But they already knew all this. But even if for some reason they just, I don't know, in their enthusiasm, just blew it off. How could you do that? You take upon the mantle of yourself to teach millions, but they need to apologize to the people of God and warn them. I'm not going to hold my breath. Again, the people of God have been deceived and led. They should understand that. They should be careful about putting their trust in men. Mel Gibson screened the Passion in one sitting for 5,000 pastors in one sitting. They saw all this, and many have seen it at other times. Where is the alarm from these men? Why do they keep promoting this subtle plot of the devil? And after these screenings, when Gibson was there, for instance, 5,000 pastors, did any go up and confront him? Mel Gibson, I'm talking about. Did anyone have enough love to share the gospel with Mel Gibson? I hope so. I doubt it, but I hope so. Rather, I picture them lining up by him, saying, can I have my picture beside you, Mel? A lot of love there. Mel Gibson's going to hell. Here's a man that's got courage. Now, here's a man, as I've heard on Christian radio, puts his money where his mouth is. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. That doesn't mean we should see the movie, like people are telling us. But here's a man that should hear the gospel. Here's a man that should be confronted. This movie, we should also shun it because it does promote, and I've already pretty much covered this, but let me just say it again. It promotes Catholics as Christians and the Roman Catholic Church as a Christian church before the whole world. And so if the Christians are involved in promoting the movie, they're involved in promoting Catholics and that church, Catholic Church, as Christian. Mel Gibson, they're saying, is he born again? I think he's born again. I'm sure he's born again. I don't know. He might not be born again yet. On prime time, he talked about his life of sin. And then it says, I was reading on their website, but he turned to the Bible. And that's how he turned it around. It talks of Gibson's renewed faith. It has Gibson preaching, Jesus was beaten for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. And by his wounds, we are healed. He's being promoted as a Christian to the whole world. This is a Catholic film released on Ash Wednesday. It promotes the Roman Catholic Church. It promotes its gospel. And it's bad enough. If the Christian leaders were just silent, that would be one thing. They're promoting it. They're joining with the Catholics, including the Vatican. They're joining with them, the Christians, the Protestants, the Roman Catholics, all as Christians to promote a joint gospel and a joint faith to the world. You know, I can just see the Catholics. They're going to be riding high after this, aren't they? Who promoted? Where did this film come from? The true church. That's where this film came from. And look at all the separated brethren acquiescing to the reality that the true church is the source of all wisdom and truth. How many Catholics were wavering, wondering, having some doubts, are now going to be confirmed in their faith by Protestant leaders that say what Mel Gibson did is a great thing. they're going to say, this is the true church. Maybe there's some things I don't agree with, but look what it's produced. This movie, this life-changing movie, and look at all the Protestants supporting it. And look at all the Roman Catholic doctrine in the movie, but they still support it. You know, at the same time, it's no mistake, no coincidence, PBS had a special on the Medici dynasty. Now, the Medicis were two popes and a number of rulers who ruled through the Renaissance, ruthlessly through the Renaissance. And they're on there talking about Christians, the Medicis, and the Christian world, and showing the Inquisition and showing all the intrigue and all the brutality of the Roman Catholic Church as the Christian Church. Meanwhile, the Protestants, look at this wicked web of intrigue, is out here, over here promoting this Roman Catholic film made by a Roman Catholic. And so you put it all together, and many an unbeliever is going to say, I want nothing to do with that, with Christianity. That is Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church. It takes the cause of Rome and the cause of ecumenism a giant step forward. You have Catholics and Christians together, shoulder to shoulder as followers of Christ, in this huge evangelistic effort. The one, one website here. Perhaps the best outreach opportunity in 2,000 years. Can you believe that? But that's what it's being touted as by many, many Christian leaders and pastors. These are blind guides. And when blind guides lead the blind, where do they end up? In a ditch. Let me read to you the truth from a Catholic Passion outreach site. The Passion of the Christ offers a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is speaking to Catholics. They always speak differently to them, to each other, you know. They tell the truth then. To spread, strengthen, and share the Catholic faith with your family and friends. They know what it's all about. This movie will be in Monroe two nights, Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to go out with gospel banners. We're going to go out with tracts for the Roman Catholics. We're going to preach. We're going to hand out tracts. It's going to be huge crowds there. We're going to evangelize. Someone says, yeah, but this movie, someone might get saved. You know, we justify everything by someone might get saved. You know, this is the siren song of the devil. If the communists are willing to take two steps forward and one step back, if necessary, then two steps forward and one back, don't you think the devil will do that? How many false converts will come out of this movie, though? How many converts to Rome? How much desensitizing of Christians? Have Christians forgotten who saves and how he saves? And have they forgotten that the Bible warns that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light? So it's a wonderful movie. So what? Judge righteous judgment. Search the scriptures to see if it's a Christian movie. It is not. How can Christians forget so quickly how sinners get saved and who saves them? Maybe many of these leaders don't know. I mean, did Paul and Peter and the apostles and the early evangelists, they lived in a culture that was entertainment mad, many of them, in Corinth and these different, in the Roman Empire. Did they put on plays? Did they do the equivalent of this, join with a bunch of pseudo-Christians to put on some kind of a play to try to get people to listen to them? No, they preached the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. It pierces the heart. The Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Someone says, well, this is the gospel. Do they even share that you must repent? That you must repent of your sin? Do they even share that God is holy, you must repent of your sin? I mean, do they share the gospel at the end of this? I doubt it. I hope they don't, because I don't want to get it confused with the true gospel. Paul says, if you skip through Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. The preaching of the cross. The preaching. Not some sort of gimmicky movie. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You know, we're often held up as being foolish when we stand on street corners and preach the word of God and hand out tracts. I guess we should make a movie. 1 Corinthians 2, with Catholics. 4 through 5, Paul says, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom." That's what this is all about, men's wisdom. Someone might get saved. The Catholics made a movie. It's all kinds of Catholic doctrine. There was apparitions on the set. They were doing the mass. They had relics on the set. It's not true to the Bible. They add, they subtract. They push the Catholic doctrine and faith. But someone might get saved. I can tell you about all sorts of situations where someone might get saved, you know. We should take and have all the Christian men go to these bad dance joints. I won't say any more than that. And just have them go in and just, you know, sit there and then leave a gospel track on the table. Sooner or later, someone might get saved, right? I don't think that would be a good thing to do, and I don't think any of you do. 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, one of my favorite passages. He says, "We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." That's how people get saved. You preach the truth of God's word. The unvarnished, unadulterated truth. Christians preach it, not Roman Catholics. 2 Corinthians 3:12. "Seeing then that we have such hope," hope in Christ, "we use great plainness of speech." We don't use gimmicks. 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Those who are promoting this movie, they're doing it because they think it'll be a great thing. They're preaching themselves, their plan, their idea. We need to preach Christ Jesus. If the Passion of Christ movie, the Passion of the Christ movie is as biblical, if it's as powerful, as it, if it's as life-changing as we've heard that it's supposed to be, then wouldn't we expect millions upon millions of Americans that are going to see it? I mean, with millions and millions of Americans, wouldn't we see some sort of revival now? I mean, if I put up tents all around the country, and I just preached the gospel, and people knew that's all that was going on inside those tents. It was sin, righteousness, judgment. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, it was hell, fire, and brimstone. It was grace. It was law. But millions flocked to hear it anyway. I think we'd see something happen. You do that today, they won't come. Does revival spring from error, compromise, and false gospels? No. No. Look at Billy Graham. This man has preached to millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people for how long now? Decades. Supposedly, how many people saved at his compromised revivals where they send Catholics back to the Catholic Church? I don't know. Supposedly, so many saved. What has our country done in this space during all these decades? Slide into the pit of hell. No revival. What is this? Let us do evil, that good may come. The Bible says whose damnation is just. We're talking about the leaders and the pastors. They're doing evil in hopes that good might come. Romans 3:8. Whose damnation is just. How does the Christian know? Someone's going to say, "Well, how am I supposed to know? I mean, I thought this was a good thing. How am I supposed to know?" You got the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you've got the Spirit of God living in you. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Look at this movie. Apply God's word to it and reject it. You can reject it right off the bat because of the things I shared right at the start of this sermon. You know, Jesus answered the devil's temptations how? It is written. It is written. Why did he do that? Because God's word is a lamp unto our feet. God's word is a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105 tells us that. Psalm 119:140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." You have a perfect, pure standard to set that movie against, and it fails by that standard. Reject it. Proverbs 30:5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." God is a shield to you. His word will protect you from being deceived, even when you have Christian leaders and high profile, pro-family leaders and Christian talk show hosts leading you down the broad way. Search the scriptures. But there is Bible in the Passion. That's what we hear from the blind guides. Well, let's go back to Jesus being tempted by Satan. It's in Luke 4. You can read about it there. Satan tries everything to tempt Jesus. He says, "If you do this, I'll do that for you." So on and so forth. And it doesn't work. Jesus says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He answers him with scripture. What does Satan do? He counterfeits what Jesus is doing. And he turns around, his last attempt to seduce Jesus and tempt him. In his last attempt, he uses scripture. He says, "It is written." What does Jesus do? Well, not like these blind guides that are promoting the Passion of Christ movie. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, scripture. This must be right. This must be proper. This must be holy and righteous." No. He puts the devil's out of context scripture into context. And he says, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." These people promoting the Passion need to look at that. Take a lesson from that. Those of you who have been looking at the Passion thinking, maybe this is good, there's Bible in it, don't be seduced by that claim. Just because there's Bible in it doesn't mean it's of God. Someone says, "But the movie was so powerful. Those who see it weep for Christ," and so they do. Or do they? Or do they weep for a poor man who's been beaten and bloodied and whipped and tortured in front of his mother and hung on a cross? Are they weeping for their sins that caused Jesus to be put on that cross? Or is it an emotional reaction in most cases? You know, Jesus said this when he was literally being taken to the cross. There were women along the way weeping for him. And he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." I believe if Jesus was standing among us today, he would say to us, and I'm not going to try to put words in his mouth, but I'm just saying, I believe that what he said to those women then should be applied to us today. I think the Holy Spirit would have us apply this to us today. People go into this theater, they weep because they see a man beaten up and tortured. Perhaps it's time we weep for ourselves because of this time of apostasy that's come upon us. Jesus told those women, "Weep for yourselves." And then he spoke of a time that was coming of great brutality, great persecution, great apostasy. I wonder if he wouldn't tell us the same thing today. Jesus lives and reigns and sits on the throne at the right hand of his Father. He's coming back to judge the quick and the dead, to rule and reign bodily among us. We need to weep for ourselves, perhaps, in the sense that there is so much heresy flourishing. There is so much apostasy. There is so much compromise. Perhaps we need to weep for the Church of Jesus Christ and the state in which we find that church, that body of Christ. What judges the Passion of Christ as a blasphemous intrigue from the devil himself? The Word of God. The Word of God judges the Passion of the Christ movie to be something Christians should reject, but yet many are embracing it, even after they know the truth. I want to tell you, beware of strong delusions. You're not going to have a revival through this movie. The Bible tells us, let me read you some warnings, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says to the Corinthians, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Subtlety. You think the devil wasn't even subtle anymore. Nobody's on their guard. Look how they went running to embrace this movie by a Romanist and continue to, in spite of what they've learned. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the single-mindedness that's in Christ. Acts 3:10, Paul goes after this Elymas, and he says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? This child of the devil had learned well from his father, He was using subtlety to pervert the right ways of the Lord. That's what this movie does. If we're ever to see revival, people want revival. I think they do. I don't know. I guess that's what this is all about. You never hear the word hardly. But if we're ever to see revival, we need to trust in the power of the Spirit and the Word of God and be patient. You say, hearts are so hard. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to have great reverence for the word of God and great fear at perverting it, misrepresenting it, joining with people who are unsaved in evangelistic effort. You know, I thought about Jesus, the picture of him coming back. It says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. This movie is about the crucifixion, supposedly. Well, Jesus comes back clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. If I was these Christian leaders and these spokesmen and these pro-family leaders, I would encourage them, fall on your faces and repent. This is a serious matter. You say you're making too much of it. No, I am not. This is the one with whom we have to do. I would tell these leaders, fall on your faces. Tell your people, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. For whatever reason it was, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Don't go to the movie. Don't support the movie. Go hand out tracts outside the movie. We need to understand the power of God's Word. And we need to have faith in the power of God's Word and doing things the right way. Remember Jesus, where was he? He couldn't do any miracles because there was no faith. And we need to be faithful. Noah preached for how long? 8 people were in the ark. The whole world was destroyed. Nobody got saved. Noah didn't think, I'm going to have to throw in with this guy over here who claims to be a man of God. He's not. But maybe he is. I don't know. Who am I to judge? And maybe together he's not as bad as some of the others. We can get some of these people saved. He didn't. He didn't betray the word of God. Psalm 124:8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This one who made heaven and earth does not need nor desire nor permit us to join with unbelievers and worse, false brethren in evangelistic efforts. This is Christianity 101. We've been born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? How were we born again? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We need to renounce all of this 21st century now. Gimmicks and gadgets and false alliances and corrupt devices. And get back to the true gospel of Jesus Christ and stand on it and preach it and wait for God to do what God will do. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the church. The Spirit and the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. With this movie, we're imagining in our minds that Mel Gibson and his Catholic friends are uniting with the Spirit of God and saying, come. Well, that's not what is going to happen. Mark my words, no revival, just a hardening of hearts, a spasm of emotion, a wave of false converts, a hardening of the hearts, and a deepening of this ecumenical movement. That is what will happen. And those leaders and pastors who will not repent from this and tell the truth, they're in trouble. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's how simple the gospel is. You don't need big movie theaters. You certainly don't want to get into this kind of compromise and corruption. What you want to do is, as the church, we preach the gospel. We say, come. And it says, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. The Spirit of God works through the Word of God. It's just that simple. I want to comfort those who have been taken in by this scam. It's nothing less than a demonic scam cooked up in hell and in the halls of the Vatican. You need to read the Bible. Next time you need to judge by the Bible. I'm not going to just say, oh well, You just made a dumb mistake. No, you're responsible. Start judging righteous judgment. Do not follow men. Follow Christ and search the scriptures to see that all things are so. You might want to turn off Christian radio for a while. In fact, I would turn off about 95% of it, to be honest. Your leaders, though, I will give you this comfort, have misled you. You counted on them. They have preached smooth things and prophesied lies to you. Woe to them that won't repent. This horrific spasm of support for the passion by Christian leaders, this despicable, treasonous aid they've given to the enemies of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ needs to be repented of. They shouldn't just slink back. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we're preaching, we say something stupid. Sometimes we see things that we didn't see before. It's some doctrine that's not a core doctrine of the faith. And we just have to make it right. But this is a core matter. This is an essential matter. This is the faith of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. These men need to repent. Or I will tell you, do not trust them. Do not follow them ever again. I don't care what anyone says about me. I have an obligation. I'm supposed to watch over your souls. Do not trust any of these men ever again unless they will say, we were wrong. We were caught up in the moment. I don't care what their excuse is. It's between them and God. But what they need to do is tell the truth. We were wrong. We repent. This is the truth. It's a Roman Catholic movie. There's Roman Catholic doctrine. It's based on demonic visions. It glorifies the Mass. It glorifies Mary. It promotes Marianolatry. It's not true to the Word of God. It adds, subtracts, and on and on and on. We were wrong. We repent. And you know what Jesus says? This is what he said to the church of Pergamon, Revelation 2:16. I think he's saying this to the church today. I really do. When it comes to this embrace of Romanism, when it comes to this accommodating of Romanism, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the word of my mouth. Repent. For Christ himself will fight against you. I believe that. I believe it's happening already. I believe there's people being given over to this apostasy. This is a key issue. This is a key issue. We must separate from the Roman Church. We must understand what it is. We must discipline, disciple, train with the truth on this. And then we must lift up a righteous standard of the true church for the whole world to see. This is the Roman Catholic Church. This is the true church of Jesus Christ. This merging, this melding, this interaction, so wrong. It's a grievous sin and an error. It has to cease. It has to cease. People get mad when you talk about that. I can tell you all about that. They get mad and they turn on you. And they use all the words the God-haters use against us when we're doing other types of ministry. Well, they can spend as much time as they want thinking up as many phrases as they want from this sermon, and they can hurl at me as often as they want, and I don't care. It's just going to make me preach harder. Let's pray.